starting in verse 3, he's talking about false doctrines. And you might think, well, wait a minute, what false doctrines? That doesn't really have anything to do with this subject. But it does, because these are actually first century prosperity theology people. If you think the health and wealth gospel started in America, in the, say, the 20th century, well, it didn't. It's always been around. It was there. And he's talking about the unhealthy false doctrine, people of corrupt mind who've been robbed of the truth. And then at the end of verse 5, and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Now, the godliness that they did was an outward sort of thing. It wasn't really the true fruit of the Spirit, but it was like checking off the boxes, you know, quote the verses, look nice, say the right things, but then use that as a means to financial gain, to to either rip people off or in terms of their false doctrine, give them promises that Scripture doesn't give, probably promises of their prosperity. Certainly the people who were doing the teaching were making a lot of money out of this. Godliness is a means to financial gain. And right when Paul says that, he has to immediately qualify himself. And that's what he does in verse 6, which is what leads us on in this passage. Because he says, actually, this thing that they believe, which is godliness, outward godliness, is a means to financial gain. He says, actually, godliness with contentment is great gain. So what he's making clear here is that he's not against gain, and he's, of course, working under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we could say that God is not against gain. God has wired us, you know, to want to have gain. Nobody should build a business up with the desire to fail or to lose. Of course you want to gain. And gaining is making money, except he's talking on a different level where he says there is another kind of gain. So let's get this straight. True godliness, and that's what he means when he says, but godliness with contentment, I mean true godliness, the kind that is content with God, who has revealed himself to us, God who is all-knowing and all-powerful. And how could you be anything other than content with this God who knows it all, who can do it all, and your life is in his hands. And that's where contentment comes. And in Scripture, contentment is often used in contrast with the love of money. And you see that in Hebrews 13, where you're being content with God, who will never desert us or forsake us. And that is set in direct contrast to the love of money, because money is, God is infinite. Money is finite. God can meet the deepest needs of the heart. Money cannot. Money's not a bad thing. Money's actually a good thing, but it's so often misused that Jesus called it mammon. Yet, even when saying you cannot serve both God and mammon, this false god of money, he also said in Luke 16 that we are to use, quote, unrighteous mammon to make friends for ourselves who will welcome into their dwellings in heaven. So you have this thing that is usually used, or often used, let's say, in wrong ways, that can be used for great kingdom purposes when the heart is right and the purpose is right and there's an eternal perspective in mind and there's generosity and all of that.